When I'm talking to new people about spiritual things, they often ask me, there's so many different ways of believing things in the Bible, how do I know what the truth really is? It's a good question. How do you know what the truth is? Sounds like the same question that Pontius Pilate was asking Jesus, what is truth? Well, for us as Christians, the answer is very simple. What does the Bible teach us? What does the Bible say? What did Jesus teach us? We know that's the truth. That's what God tells us. And by God's grace, you and I are able to believe it. We're continuing with our theme tonight of Father, forgive us. And tonight we're going to ask God to forgive us when we abandon that truth and don't appreciate it and maybe believe other things or disbelieve things. God always forgives us, and he continues to give us that truth of his word so that we know and believe in our Savior Jesus. In the name of our God, to whom all hearts are open and from whom no secrets are hidden, O Lord, hear my prayer. In your faithfulness, do not bring your servant into judgment. Answer me quickly, O Lord. Do not hide your face from me. Show me the way I should go. Teach me to do your will. Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a troubled and repentant sinner, confess that I have sinned against you in my thoughts, my words, and my actions. I have not loved you with my whole heart. I have not loved others as I should. I am distressed by the sins that trouble me and am deeply sorry for them. Jesus says to his people, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. His death paid for the guilt of your sins and the sins of the whole world. Do you believe this? Yes, I believe. Because of the promise of our Savior Jesus, I forgive you all your sins. Be assured that you are a dear child of God and an heir of eternal life. We pray. Lord God, we thank you for this day of grace. Stay with us and warm our hearts with your forgiving love in Christ. May your word keep our faith burning brightly, that we walk in the light of your presence through the darkness of this sinful world. Come and bless us as we worship you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Our psalm reading for tonight is Psalm 116. The first part of the psalm is about our thankfulness for our forgiveness, for our salvation. And the second part is about how we show that thankfulness as we share our faith with others. I love the Lord because he hears my voice. He hears my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call to him all my days. The ropes of death entangled me. The walls of the grave hemmed me in. I found distress and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. Ah, Lord, please save my life. The Lord is gracious and righteous, and our God is compassionate. The Lord protects the inexperienced. In my weakness, he saves me too. Return, my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has accomplished his purpose for you. Indeed, you have delivered my soul from death, my eye from weeping, my foot from stumbling, so that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore I have spoken, I am greatly afflicted. In my haste I said, all people are deceptive. How can I repay the Lord for all of his benefits to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation, and I will call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord, now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of his favored ones. Ah, Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You opened my chains. To you I will sacrifice a thank offering, and I will call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord here in the presence of all his people, in the courtyards of the house of the Lord, in the middle of Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. We pray. Gracious Father in heaven, in countless ways we have sinned against you, but you have been merciful to us and have forgiven our sin. Surround us with your unfailing love, that we may rejoice in your great goodness, now and forever, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We continue the reading of our Passion history. This is the fourth part. This is a section where Jesus is standing in front of Pontius Pilate as Pilate is questioning him. As soon as it was day, the council of the elders of the people met together, both the chief priests and the experts in the law. They brought Jesus into their Sanhedrin and said, "If you are the Christ, tell us." But he said to them, "If I tell you, you will not believe. And if I ask you, you will not answer me or release me. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the power of God." They all said, "Are you then the Son of God?" He said to them, "I am what you are saying." Then they said, "Why do we need any more testimony? For we ourselves have heard it from his own mouth." Then the chief priests with the elders and experts in the law, together with the whole Sanhedrin, reached a decision. They bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate, the Roman governor. Then, when Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that Jesus was condemned, he began to feel regret. He brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders and said, "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." But they said, "What is that to us? That is your problem." He threw the pieces of silver into the temple and left. Then he went out and hanged himself. The chief priest took the pieces of silver and said, "It is not lawful to put these into the treasury, since it is blood money." They reached a decision. They met and decided to buy the potter's field with the money as a burial place for foreigners. So that field has been called the Field of Blood to this day. Then what was spoken through Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled. They took the 30 pieces of silver, the price the sons of Israel had set for him, and they gave them for the potter's field, just as the Lord commanded me. Early in the morning, the Jews led Jesus from Caiaphas to the praetorium. They did not enter the praetorium themselves, so that they would not become ceremonially defiled. So Pilate went out to them and said, "What charge do you bring against this man?" They answered him, "If this man were not a criminal, we would not have handed him over to you." Pilate told them, "Take him yourselves and judge him according to your law." The Jews said, "It is not legal for us to put anyone to death." This happened so that the statement Jesus had spoken, indicating what kind of death he was going to die, would be fulfilled. They began to accuse him, saying, "We found this fellow misleading our nation, forbidding the payment of taxes to Caesar, and saying that he himself is Christ, a king." Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered him, "It is as you say." The chief priests accused him of many things. When he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Pilate questioned him again, "Aren't you going to give an answer to anything? See how many charges they are bringing against you." But Jesus still did not answer a thing, so Pilate was amazed. Pilate then went back into the praetorium and summoned Jesus. He asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Are you saying this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate answered, "I'm not a Jew, am I? Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What have you done?" "My kingdom is not of this world," Jesus answered. "If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." "You are a king then?" Pilate asked. Jesus answered, "I am, as you say, a king. I was born for this, and for this I have come into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." "What is truth?" Pilate said to him. After he said this, he went out again to the Jews and told the chief priests and the crowd, I find no basis for a charge against this man. But they kept insisting, he stirs up the people, teaching all through Judea, beginning from Galilee all the way here. When Pilate heard this, he asked if the man was a Galilean. When he learned that he was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem during those days. When Herod saw Jesus, he was very glad. For a long time he had wanted to see him because he had heard many things about him. He hoped to see some miracle performed by Jesus. He questioned him with many words, but Jesus gave him no answer. The chief priests and the experts in the law stood there vehemently accusing him. Herod and his soldiers treated him with contempt and ridiculed him. Dressing him in bright clothing, they sent him back to Pilate. Herod and Pilate became friends with each other on that day. Before this, they had been enemies. I am the way and the truth and the life, says our Lord. No one comes to the Father except through me. The verses of God's word for our study were included in our reading of the Passion History from Luke chapter 18, dear fellow worshipers. One of the things that's hard to find these days is the truth. Maybe you're a parent and you got kids at home and something happened at home and now you're trying to find out the truth and you're not quite sure what it is. No one's telling you. Maybe you're working on your taxes and you're wondering if you can take this deduction or that deduction and you don't really know and it's hard to find out. Well, what's the truth? Can I take it or not? Maybe you're looking to buy something and you check it out online and you look at the reviews and there's people that didn't like it and those that did like it. So is it going to be a good purchase or a bad one? What's the truth? Well, those examples are small things compared to the truth that you and I need to know for our salvation. What is the truth? Pilate asked that question, and thankfully you and I don't have to ask it because we know what the truth is. It's all the things that our Savior Jesus teaches us, the things that we believe by faith. We're continuing with our theme of Father, forgive us. Tonight we're going to ask God to forgive us when we abandon His truths. Sometimes we give up that truth and don't want to listen to it, the same truth that Pilate rejected. We also pray that God would give us a strong faith to believe the truth that Jesus shares with us through His teaching and His life. After Jesus was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, he's taken off to a court trial. It's nighttime, and it's actually illegal to hold court during the night. But that's what happened to Jesus. The court trial wasn't taking place so that they could find out what the truth was. All the Pharisees wanted to do was find some way to have Jesus executed. As Jesus stands there in front of Caiaphas, the high priest, they ask him if he is a king, because he's claimed to do that and to be that. And Jesus says, yes, I am a king. And automatically, the high priest and the fellow Pharisees, they're going to accuse Jesus of blasphemy. And blasphemy means that I, as a mere human being, claim to be or to do something that only God can do. And since they thought that Jesus was just a man, they're saying he's guilty of blasphemy. They want him executed for this crime, so to speak. The problem is that the Jews are under Roman rule, Roman law. They have no authority to have anyone executed. So they have to go to Pontius Pilate, and they're hoping that Pilate will give them what they want, that they'll have Jesus executed. Pilate went back into the praetorium and summoned Jesus. He asked him, are you the king of the Jews? Almost sounds like Pilate really wants to know the answer to that question. Maybe he's curious, and that's what Jesus asks him. Jesus says, are you saying this on your own, or did others tell you about me? So Pilate, do you really want to know what the truth is here? This is how Pilate responds. Am I a Jew? Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What have you done? Pilate knew that Jesus was innocent. He knew that it was out of envy that the Jews wanted Jesus dead. Pilate knew the truth, but what was he going to do with that truth? Jesus gives this response. My kingdom is not of this world. If it were of this world, my servants would fight so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. You are a king then, said Pilate. Jesus answered, I am, as you say, a king. For this reason I was born, and for this reason I came into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. What is truth? Pilate said to him. What is the truth about Jesus? Well, the truth is that ever since the time that Adam and Eve fell into sin, God promised a Savior would come into the world. All throughout the Old Testament, God added to those prophecies about Jesus, giving lots of details about where he would be born and how he would live, all kinds of things. When Jesus finally came into the world, he spent his earthly ministry preaching and teaching and telling people all the things about the Bible and God's plan of salvation and how he was a part of it. It was all exactly like God wanted it to be. And anyone who wanted to find out the truth would be asking Jesus. And that's what Pilate had the opportunity to do. That's what the Jewish people had the opportunity to do. But they rejected it. The Jews didn't want Jesus as an earthly king. They didn't want him at all. They were ready to send an innocent man to the cross and to let a murderous man, Barabbas, go free. They wanted an earthly king. We talked about that in a previous sermon. They wanted the Jews to be a great nation again. And Jesus wasn't going to give them that. So they rejected him. They seethed with anger over Jesus. They wanted him dead. Pilate goes back to the Jews. Pilate went out to the Jews again and told them, I find no basis for a charge against him. Pilate knows he's innocent and tries to set him free. Pilate's wife, remember that part of the story where she writes him a note and says, don't have anything to do with this innocent man. People today are still looking for the truth. Unfortunately, today there are a lot of people that don't believe in six 24-hour days of creation, that God made everything out of nothing. They believe in evolution instead. They don't believe that Adam and Eve were the crown of God's creation, made in God's image to serve him here. They think that man is just a superior animal, like all the other animals that are here. Instead of believing that Jesus came into the world to save all people from their sins, many believe, like the Pharisees, Jesus is just a man. He's just a good example, but he certainly isn't God. Many people believe today there's no right or wrong. There's no right and wrong and rules and things like that. You just do the best you can in earthly life, and God will have to be happy with that. A lot of people today, they don't know the truth. They have the opportunity. The Bible is right in front of them. That good news about Jesus is available to everyone, but they don't want to believe the truth. They'd rather believe something else. How thankful you and I can be that we know what the truth is. God's given us our faith, and our faith allows us to read what the Bible teaches and to believe God's plan of salvation. We've been through Lenten seasons before. We know the details of all these things that are happening. And even though we're familiar with it, what a blessing. We know why Jesus came here. We know how he paid for our sins. We know what happened after he died. We know how he rose again. We know how he's back in heaven preparing a place for us. We know the truth, the absolute truth that God wants us to believe. God wants us to have that truth and never give it up. When I think about what Pilate did with Jesus, I'd call it taking the easy way out. Pilate didn't want to have a riot coming up in Jerusalem. Even though he knows Jesus is innocent, he just takes the easy way out and he's going to end up convicting Jesus and sending him off to be executed. Sometimes you and I are tempted to take the easy way out too. The Bible talks to us about our sins, and we confess our sins at most every worship service. But sometimes sin is enjoyable, and I take the easy way out, and I think, well, I can do that because it's enjoyable, and I'll just ask God to forgive me later. Or there's other temptations. I try to justify sin. I can find all kinds of reasons to commit sins. Everyone else is doing this. That's the worldly idea. Why can't I? Sometimes it's easy to just confess and then not repent, not make changes. There's all kinds of things that you and I are tempted to do as Christians to take the easy way out and abandon the truth about our sins and about what Jesus does for us. How thankful we can be that our Savior continues to forgive us each and every day. No matter how many times we've committed the same dumb sin, God forgives us and forgets our sins. And then He strengthens our faith so that you and I don't abandon God's truth, but we cling to our faith so that we believe in Jesus as our Savior, and that truth strengthens us as we live our lives for Him. Pilate had this opportunity to learn all kinds of things about Jesus when he's questioning Him, and so did the Jewish leaders. They had all kinds of opportunities to do that. And if they would have asked Jesus, maybe Jesus would have said the Bible verse that I used at the beginning of the sermon from John 14, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Maybe he would have shared that part of Scripture to show them that the truth is there. Jesus is the truth. Well, a lot of people claim to have the truth. People who are Islam, they think that Muhammad gave them the truth. The Mormons think that Joseph Smith and the angel Moroni gave them the truth. How do you and I know that we have the truth? We know who Jesus is. Is Jesus a man? He certainly is. Human body and soul, human characteristics. The Bible calls him a man. But then the Bible gives us four reasons why Jesus is true God. Divine names. All of Jesus' names have something to do with God. Whether it's Jesus, which means Savior, or Christ, meaning the chosen one, Messiah, same thing, chosen one. Maybe it's Savior. Maybe it's Redeemer, one that buys us back from sin, death, and the devil. All those names about Jesus say something about Him being true God. Jesus has divine characteristics. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. He's present everywhere. That's what God is. That's what Jesus is. Jesus does things. He has divine works, 35 miracles that He performs in the Bible, many more that the gospel writer John says that Jesus performed that just aren't recorded for us. And the fourth way we know that Jesus is true God is divine honor. Now think about Jesus standing in front of Caiaphas, the high priest, and then standing in front of Pontius Pilate, the governor, the Roman governor. When judgment day comes, Jesus is going to be the one questioning them. They will be the ones standing before Him because He has the divine honor of judging all people on the last day. Jesus tells us the truth, and that's why He came. This is from John chapter 1 about Jesus, the Word of God. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus tells us the truth. We believe it by faith, and it changes our lives so that we know about our Savior and we believe in Him, and because of Him, we have the gift of salvation. I just looked on the calendar before church. There's only like a little more than 3 weeks until Easter. Doesn't seem possible. This is already week number 4 in the Lenten season. One of the things that we enjoy about Easter is it's really the stamp of approval, I'll say, about the work of Jesus, that He's been raised from the dead after living perfectly and dying innocently and being buried. Such a great day for us as Christians. One of the other things that makes it fun is we'll have flowers back again. That's one of our traditions, to have flowers once Lent's over. Have an Easter breakfast. That's always fun. But something else that I really enjoy is when there's visitors here. Some are friends of families here at Emmanuel and other things, family members. We're always happy to see them. But then there's people who are here, maybe it's the very first time that they're in church. And that's a good thing. We want to share with them everything that we know about the Savior. And think of all the things that we talk about on Easter, all the things that Jesus has done. And again, it's the high point. Well, if that visitor just hears what's going on and they don't have faith to believe it, it doesn't really do them any good. Maybe that's the day when they're going to hear the good news and the Holy Spirit will create that faith. But if I hear the truth about Jesus, but I don't have the faith to believe it, it doesn't really do me any good. You and I have a different issue when we celebrate Easter, because we've done this many times before. And the temptation for us is to take it all for granted. To take it all for granted and to think, well, I know this already, and then our Bibles collect dust. Or I'm going to go to church and, you know, go through the motions Easter Sunday again without really appreciating what happened on Easter. Sometimes we get so used to it, we don't appreciate that wonderful truth of God's Word. We take it for granted. And for that, again, we have to ask God to forgive us for abandoning that truth. What a loving and gracious God we have. Year after year, He reminds us and teaches us so that we learn better and better appreciate all these valuable things that our Savior has done. We have a truth that no one else can have. And we have a truth that we didn't find ourselves, but only by God's grace believe. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving us when we abandon your truth. Help us to hold on to it firmly as we go through the Lenten season and celebrate that wonderful resurrection of our Savior. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all of our human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We will continue with our prayers. Blessed Savior Jesus, though men reviled you and persecuted you, though they accused you of blasphemy and of deceiving the people, though they laughed at your claims of being the Savior and the Son of God, nevertheless we rejoice to know and trust in you as our Lord, who has brought us the truth of salvation. There is none other upon whom we can rely. Your words inviting our hearts to faith are indeed words of eternal life. Dear Savior, because of your victory over sin, death, and the devil, we now ask you to rule over us with your grace. Forgive all of our sins and fill our hearts with every spiritual blessing. Help us to be devoted to you in our hearts and lives as you were devoted to the will of your Heavenly Father. Help us to live each day knowing that we have a home waiting for us in heaven. As we go through the difficulties of life, help us not to be overly involved in them, but rather to use our faith to deal with whatever comes along as you so awesomely teach us in your word. May the salvation that you purchased for sinners at the price of your own blood move us to songs of joy and thankfulness. Raise up in us a childlike faith so that we come boldly to your throne of grace and seek your help in every time of need. All glory to your name, now and forever. Amen. Eternal Father, you alone make decisions about life and death. We ask for your mercy on Joanne Burrell, whose departure from this life seems near at hand. As she passes through the valley of the shadow of death, comfort her with faith's assurance that you are with her and she need not be overcome by fear. Spare her extreme physical pain. Encourage her and her loved ones with the sure hope of the glory that you have prepared for your believers in heaven. Into your hands we commit her as we also join in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.